This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The U.S. Occupation Authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war. The assault was likely planned over at least the last 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. U.S. officials and officers fled from the Al-Rashid, some still in pajamas or shorts, to a nearby convention center. The concrete face of the building was pockmarked with a half dozen or more blast holes and windows shattered in at least 24 rooms. More than 15 hours after the rocket fire, two explosions went off in the same downtown area. A rocket-propelled grenade was fired at a U.S. convoy next to the Al-Mansour Hotel, about a mile away from the Al-Rashid. There were no casualties. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation, and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, "If they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court." And he vowed that he and Arizona Senator John McCain would go to the floor of the Senate and extend the life of the commission if the documents are not surrendered by the commission's deadline. Wildfires that have burned for days stretched across miles in parts of Southern California on Sunday, leaving 13 people dead and destroying 650 homes. The state's largest fire in San Diego County caused at least 9 deaths, including 2 who died inside their car as they apparently tried to escape the flames. By Sunday night, the fires had blackened 264,000 acres. Fire also forced the evacuation of a Federal Aviation Administration control center in San Diego, disrupting air travel across the nation. Some airlines canceled flights into the region. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Police arrested a man for stealing shoes from a southern Japanese hospital, then found a collection in his home of 440 women's shoes, all for the left foot. Ichiro Iri, 45, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of having stolen 2 leather shoes the previous day. In Iri's home, police found a box and a closet overflowing with 440 women's shoes, including high heels, patent leather pumps, sandals, and nurse's shoes. Police had no explanation for the man's preference for the left foot. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
The following war, life's life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Monday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, if you'd like to join in, is 800-TALK-YES. And the email address during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Hannah is calling from Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Hannah.
Oh, hello, Mike Malloy. You know, I used to listen to you every night out of WLS in Chicago. And when you left, I just was distraught. And I tried to find out where you were. No one would help me. Yeah. But I saw you on CNN today, and I tracked you down.
Yes, you
did. And I want you to know that the country needs your voice. You know, the people they have on LSD, should I tell you some of them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, Don Wade, all these people are very, very right-wing conservatives.
Oh,
Don
yeah.
Wade, Larry Elder.
Oh, they're awful.
Hannity, O'Reilly, I think, took Limbaugh's place.
Yeah.
Then there's a woman on at 10, very right-wing, but I can't think of her name. Then on Saturday, a fella called Jake somebody.
Yeah, Jake Hartford, yeah.
Yeah, but the nice fella I listen to every Saturday night is Nate Clay. He's okay.
He's the only good one left.
I hope you're going to help the Democrats and the liberals this year because there's nobody out there talking for them.
Well, I'll do my best, Hannah.
Well, I sure hope so, and I'm glad I found you. I hope what's the radio station letters?
Well, I'm not on a radio station in Rockford, Illinois.
Oh, we're
on the computer.
I wouldn't be able to hear you.
No, we're...
Well, I hope you can get on. They need you on CNN. You're a CNN type guy.
Yes, I am. Thank
well,
you.
I'm so glad I found you.
I am too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Hannah. You have a nice evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Kathy, if she's not listening online or on a radio station,
she just got the phone number. She just called up our network and got the 800 number so she could say hi to you because she was a longtime listener and fan of yours.
I see. Okay.
Clearly, she doesn't have much longer to live and wanted to pass that on to you.
What did you just say? Oh, my God.
Wanted to talk to you one more time before,
all right,
you know.
All right. Nancy Skinner joins us during our second hour. She is a former talk show host. She's a former talk show host on WLS until they took her job away, the same way they took Ski Anderson's job away from him. Pretty much the same way they took away mine, too. What the hell am I talking about? Anyway, she's running for the Senate from Illinois, as you know, or attempting to be the Democratic nominee in Illinois. And she'll be on the program again. This will be, second or third time? At the beginning of our second hour. The happy news continues from Iraq, doesn't it? So dozens were killed in the last 2 days. Bush says wonderful things are happening there. And Ambassador Paul Bremer says it was just a bad day, but there's lots of good days. No worries. We'll have some of that sound for you, too. Just, they just get sicker and sicker, don't they? This story kind of got lost in the Walmart thing. 300 undocumented workers, you remember, were rounded up by federal officials during what the feds laughingly called Operation Rollback. See, they do have a sense of humor. That's from the Walmart TV commercials about price rollback. Okay, never mind. You either get it or you don't. But it turns out that $2 was the daily wage earned by the lowest paid of these janitors. Now, Walmart's immediate defense was, I know nothing. I know nothing about this. We subcontract janitorial. I know nothing. But what the feds got is, they got recordings, just like they did with the pig man and his drug usage and his drug, felonious drug. Putting somebody out on the street to score drugs for him. So they got him on the wire. They got Walmart executives, a handful of them on wires, conspiring with these freelance slave masters who brought workers to this country. They charged them as much as $3,000-$4,000 to come to this country and go to work for Walmart for $2 a day, not an hour. $2 a day. And that's, where are you getting the information, Mike? From Time Magazine, current issue of Time Magazine. Now, $2 a day, that's pretty much what Walmart pays to laborers in China and Malaysia and Indonesia and the Mariana Islands and all these places around the globe where decent paying manufacturing jobs have gone. And, of course, wages have been suppressed or depressed from $10, $12, $14 an hour down to $2 a day. So Walmart likes to have it both ways. They like to get the foreign slave labor, and they like to get domestic slave labor. So it looks like they figured out a way to do it, just contract it out. It's just disgusting. You know, what was about a year ago, I said anybody that shops at Walmart ought to have their knuckles broken. It is such a vile, a terrible, terrible organization. It is the biggest retailer in the history of the human race. And it is driving wages to the bottom. It's just a rush to the bottom with these people. Ah, Christ, Malloy, talk to the hand. You know, who cares? People want to save some bucks, they'll go to Walmart. It doesn't do any good to talk about that. I wouldn't shop in Walmart if somebody held a gun to my head. And I mean that. I really would not. Now, while Walmart subcontracts, guess what? Even though there are 7 million unemployed Iraqis, 7 million unemployed subcontractors, United States companies, subcontractors, you know, Bechtel and Halliburton and Kellogg-Brenner Root, the big Bush supporters who have the majority of the contracts for the reconstruction of the destruction that we caused in Iraq, they are subcontractors, the U.S. subcontractors, are rebuilding the Iraq infrastructure with cheap migrant labor from South Asia. Can you believe this? Even in Iraq, the bastards import cheap migrant labor that they can pay below market value. It is astonishing. Now, too stupid to be president has been emphasizing the importance of Iraqis taking on the job themselves, right? How many times have you heard, well, the Iraqis got to step up? The people getting the jobs to reconstruct Iraq. And remember who has all the money. The Iraqis don't have the money. The Iraqi council doesn't have the money. The Americans have the money. So what are they doing? They're not hiring Iraqis. Because the Iraqis might want, oh, I don't know, $10 a day. So they bring in slave laborers from South Asia who they can get for $10 a week. The bastards do it even in a war zone. I've never seen a race of demons like these people who constitute the Bush crime family. It is just astonishing. Astonishing. Bush has said that the key to rebuilding a democratic, rebuilding a democratic process in Iraq is Iraqi people themselves. And Paul Bremer, the military leader, the U.S. leader of Iraq, the appointee, the overseer, the slave master, has talked about the need to turn around the country's 60% unemployment rate and to fix a very sick economy. So what are they doing? They're bringing in people from South Asia. They're importing slave labor. Oh, Jesus, have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? It took 16 minutes tonight. Well, actually, it only took about 9, because we didn't come on the air until about 7:30 past. Well, all right, let's go from that depressing story to something fun. This was in the Yale Daily News. Yeah, Yale University. A guy there, Reverend Stephen White, who is infamous on that campus for preaching against homosexuality and sexual promiscuity at Yale and other college campuses, he is now facing charges that he solicited sex from a teenage boy in a Philadelphia suburb. Isn't this the way it always goes, though? Isn't it? Now, this guy, who's known to students as Brother Stephen, or Brother Stephen. It's Reverend Stephen White, Brother Stephen. He has made all sorts of speeches, informal speeches on campus and not just Yale, but all around the place, denouncing minorities, denouncing homosexuals, denouncing popular culture. Well, he was arrested a couple of months ago. The story is just coming out now. After he allegedly offered $20 to a 14-year-old boy in Westchester, Pennsylvania, for permission to perform oral sex on him. According to the boy's sworn affidavit, Reverend White approached him in a green Ford van and asked if he knew of any strip clubs, adult bookstores, or shops that sold sexually explicit videos. When the boy said no, Reverend White tried to lure the kid into the vehicle. The Reverend then told the boy he could make some money by letting Reverend White perform fellatio on him. Well, the boy, he walked away and wrote down the license plate, gave the number to his mother. The mother contacted the police. Reverend White will be tried on November 24th on 4 charges, including criminal attempt to lure a child into a motor vehicle. I never heard of that one. Criminal attempt to lure a child into, and criminal solicitation to involuntary deviant sexual intercourse. Jesus, God. A detective at the Westchester Police Department, where all this is occurring, said he believes that this is probably not the Reverend White's only sex offense. The detective said, based on my experiences, this sort of thing, these things don't just happen once. Now, at Yale, news of this freak's arrest got all kinds of student reactions from the Yalies, ranging from glee to indifference. The former coordinator of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Cooperative says she was in disbelief when she heard about White's alleged sex offense. She said, I'm still kind of incredulous. How is it that anyone can engage in something so clearly taboo, especially someone who presents himself as so entrenched in morality? I feel sorry for this man and for the boy who crossed his path. Well, no, sweetheart, feel sorry for the boy. But you know, wish the man into hell. I have lost, I think, all my compassion for right-wingers. I don't care if they get caught like the pig man involved deeply up to his eyeballs in illegal drugs. I don't care if they get like these guys get caught trying to solicit sex from young children. Let them burn. Let them rot. Lock them up. Throw away the key. 'Cause daddy likes porno and $10 whores. Daddy gets wasted and rot.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rush, get your stuff out of your nose. If you take a silly sprite, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Okay, I'm almost finished with the sleaze section of the program here. The Reverend Stephen White, infamous for preaching against homosexuality and sexual promiscuity at Yale and other college campuses, is now facing charges. He's going on trial. He tried to solicit sex from a teenage boy in a Philly suburb. And this is published in the Yale Daily News last Thursday. One of the students who heard about his being busted in the trial said, well, this is weird, man. He would quote Bible passages like, you know, incessantly, and now it seems the Bible would be against what he's done. Yeah. Another student said he was pleased that Reverend White's apparent hypocrisy had been exposed. This student said, there's a sick satisfaction that someone so preachy is so flawed. I'm trying not to be too thrilled about it. Yeah, I know the feeling. Now, we're almost finished. Out in Houston, Texas, a popular right-wing radio talk show host out there, John Matthews, is off the air. His broadcast studio is in Sugar Land, Texas, home of the exterminator man. Sugar Land police are investigating him. People in Houston have been listening to this guy for more than 15 years. He's a former Marine loyal listener. On Friday past, those listeners didn't hear him because his boss took him off the air. Why? Well, Sugar Land Police Department say that they're investigating this right-wing talk show host after an allegation of indecency with a child. The police, this is reported by ABC 13 Eyewitness News in Houston.
The Sugar Land Police Department would not talk about this case on camera, but they do say on the record that they're investigating Mr. Matthews after an allegation of indecency with a child. They are, however, reluctant to release any specifics.
The Sugar Land Police Captain Mike Lund says, quote, we have an ongoing investigation. I'm not going to go there. Now, one of the people who appears in the program is a right-wing Republican congressman from the area, John Culberson. John Culberson says he can't imagine the talk show host being involved in any indecency with a child. Representative Culberson said, I just can't even imagine. I refuse to believe it must be a mistake. Yeah, probably is. Why do both the cases I just mentioned, nobody's been convicted yet, so I'm not talking about these two cases. Why is it that so many right-wing males, extremists, where it concerns their political point of view, and usually their sexual politics are extreme right-wing, why is it so many of them turn out to be child abusers or child molesters? Or have a history of beating and otherwise antagonizing women. Right-wingers are really sick. You know, Republicans are truly, truly sick people. They, God, it just makes me shiver. Oh, there's another one of these. Gertrude Jones passed away. This obituary was published in the Times-Picayune in New Orleans on about a month, 3 weeks ago. Gertrude Jones, 81, passed away on August 25th under the loving care of the nursing aides at Heritage Manor in Mandeville, Louisiana. She was a native of Lebanon, Kentucky. She was a retired vice president of Georgia International Life Insurance Company of Atlanta. Her husband predeceased her. Two daughters survive her, three sisters, four grandchildren, three great-grandchildren also survive her. Funeral services were held in Louisville, Kentucky. Memorial gifts may be made to any organization that seeks the removal of President George Bush from office. Memorial gifts may be made to any organization that seeks the removal of President George Bush from office. It's an obituary published in the New Orleans Times-Picayune about 3 weeks ago. Oh, my God. That's happening more and more, isn't it? Little old ladies who are dying, and in their obituary, they request that something, anything be done to get rid of this jackass. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairies here in the Midwest or wetlands, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is the great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please listen to our show, because if
you
don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Okay, 27 before the hour. Last little item here and then to your phone calls. This is last Friday during an interview that was on, once again, on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Matt Groening, is that how you pronounce his name? The guy who created The Simpsons? He revealed on that program that the Fox News Network had threatened to sue The Simpsons over a parody in several of the episodes about Fox News Channel. According to Matt Groening, the Simpsons team refused to cut out the segment, which Groening told Fresh Air he really liked. Matt figured that Rupert Murdoch wouldn't allow the Fox News cable network to sue the Fox broadcast network, which carries the Simpsons. Now, the Fox News network did back down on its threat, although it has told the Simpsons creators that in the future, cartoon series will not be allowed to include a news crawl along the bottom of the screen. Apparently, in the Simpsons, they also put a news crawl. And the reason, Fox said, was because it might confuse the Fox News Channel viewers. Do you understand that? That's the most telling comment that I've ever heard on the degree to which Fox News Channel understands the IQ of its viewers. They're afraid that people watching The Simpsons, while The Simpsons are doing a parody of Fox News, and the parody includes a news crawl on the bottom, that those people will think they're really watching Fox News Channel. Here it is, right here. There it is. It's just astonishing, isn't it? Okay, enough fun and frivolity from me. Let's go to your calls. Michael is calling from Phoenix. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael. It was good seeing you on CNN today.
Oh, yeah, that was a real hoot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I looked at the tape when I got hold, and I thought, Jesus, who is the old guy who has taken over my body?
Well, I wasn't going to say it, Mike, but...
Man! I look like I just came off a 10-year drunk. I don't know what was up with that, but, nothing. I guess that's really the way I look. Oh, well, too bad.
Well, it was good seeing you. I wanted to just... By the way, about the Fox News, I think anybody watching Fox News might be confused that it's real news, let alone the Simpsons.
It's just funny to me that Fox News executives think the people would... Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Well, I wanted to just talk about the Walmart thing a little bit. I'm in Arizona, and we're close to having a strike at some of our grocery stores, too. And so we hear about this story frequently on the local news. And one of the reasons management gives for these concessions they're asking for, including the health benefits, is that they can't compete with Walmart, who are paying a lot less for their workers. And then you hear about the raid they did on Walmart with they're paying these immigrant workers.
There's
low wages.
Yeah, there's some truth to that rationale by the grocers. I read something recently about grocery store clerks in California. There are three major chains apparently in California, and some of the people there make $12 to $14 an hour. Walmart opens up these Walmart superstores and pays $6 an hour, and that's part of their cheap cost. That's why I say Walmart is one of the most destructive forces in this country ever.
Well, on top of all that, we had a story in the local media here. There's a state legislator who was, I'm not sure if he was just calling a press conference to make some noise or if he wants to investigate Walmart, but they're having these low-paid employees pushing them to file all the paperwork for the state health insurance for the indigent.
Yeah.
We can all, and I've heard they do this all over the country as well. They try hard as they can to shove off that cost onto the government, and we're also one of the states that is deep in the hole in no small part due to the health insurance that we have to provide for people who can't afford it.
It's just terrible. What the hell happened? I mean, how long ago was 1998, 1999, 1997, when things were going along fairly well in this country? The states were swimming in black ink. The federal government was out of... at least had a surplus in the budget, was paying down the national debt. What the hell happened?
Well, I can say that here we had one of those governors who cut the taxes, and some people were warning when times are slim, times are fat now, but when times are slim, you're not going to be able to raise the taxes again, and at least we here in Arizona found ourselves in that situation.
Yeah.
The point I wanted to make with all the Walmart deal is that here's these people who work a job, and they don't have college educations, but they can make a decent living and put food in their family.
Right. Yeah.
And
on their family.
Food on their family, right. And and they're looking to, they may get squeezed out of that thanks to Walmart and these other places that are not playing by the same rules. And just more squeezing the middle class.
I've read that the average wage of a Walmart worker, not management, the average wage of an hourly worker at Walmart who's been there for 5 years is about $2,000 below the federal definition of the poverty line.
Yeah.
And that's for full-time work. That's putting in 40 hours a week, getting paid for it, another 10 or 15 that the supervisors threaten you that if you don't take it off. Remember that case at Walmart, making their workers work off the books, or off the clock. That was just, less than a year ago.
Sure.
And now this, and the slave wages that they pay overseas, Walmart is just a vile, destructive force in this country. And it's only there because people shop at Walmart. If people would just boycott the damn place and stay out, there are other places that are available to shop at, and I'm sure the other places have equally poor record. But to punish these monoliths one at a time is, to me that makes sense. But of course, we Americans will never do that because we would rather spend $2 for an item that at another store would cost $4.
Sure.
Even though we know that in paying $2 for the item, we are contributing to the destruction of the environment, of the rush to the bottom in wages in this country, and the further driving of the manufacturing jobs out of the United States. But we don't care.
No, people don't. In fact,
there was
some guy on the radio here saying that exact same thing about this imminent strike. People, you know, especially times are hard. They'd rather save a couple of bucks, and they'll just go shop somewhere else. They don't really care.
Don't care.
If you want to know why the middle class keeps getting squeezed, this is one of the big reasons. All the Walmarts there, they're just driving this relentless push to lower wages. And that's what's happened to the middle class. And we're seeing it play out here. And really, I don't know. I can just sit here and kvetch about it. I can't do anything other than refuse to shop at Walmart, I guess.
Well, that's
and raise people's awareness. I try to tell people.
Right. That's a good thing to do. Just stop shopping at Walmart and continue to spread the word. And, Michael, I appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah, what can anybody do? That's what most of us say. Well, what the hell can I do? Don't shop there. That's what you can do. Don't spend your money there. Just don't. But that's BS. Nobody pays. You know, I might, Michael might, you might. I'm not talking about you, gentle listener. I understand. You would be listening to this program if you still shopped at Walmart. Right? Carl is calling from south side of Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing all right. How about you?
I'm okay.
Good, good.
Yeah, I had a couple of items I wanted to talk to you about. One was all these terrorist attacks over the weekend and early this morning in Baghdad.
Can I correct you on one thing? I won't call them terrorists. I would call them guerrilla attacks.
Okay, well.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because these are people, who are trying to, trying to get their country back, as far as I'm concerned. They may be Baathists, they may be Saddam suckers, but it's their country. They can be any damn thing they want.
You're right. I'm getting a little tired of it. Right now everyone keeps saying that, we're fighting the terrorists over there. It's better we fight them there than here at home. And I'm just, thinking, pretty soon the Iraqi people are going to get tired of hearing that and say, the problem is because you're here.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
And why is it that American lives are more valuable than our lives?
Mm-hmm.
We're being killed over here because you're here.
Well, American lives have always been, there's a hierarchy of the value of lives. White American lives are at the top of the list. Then come white European lives. And then somewhere in there come African American lives, if African Americans live in this country. And that, it just works its way down. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the way it's always been. Iraqis, where do they fit on the scale? Oh, they're probably eighth or ninth down.
Well, the thing is, I wasn't really surprised at the tactics that they used. They said that they had disguised vehicles as official vehicles, an ambulance and a police car and stuff like that. And I was thinking, well, that's not really a surprise. I was waiting for when they were going to drive up to the U.S. Barracks or something like that in a Humvee or something,
Yeah.
They didn't ever find all of Saddam's silkworm missiles, did they?
I don't know how that stands. All I know is that the weapons they were looking for, they never found anything, nothing, zero, zip, zilch, nada.
Well, I know one was fired during the conflict,
mm-hmm.
but I've never heard if they uncovered any.
I don't think they
any
have.
Additional. So that was something else. I guess they need to be looking out for.
Yeah.
Now the other thing was this evening I watched Al Sharpton eat up Chris Matthews on Hardball.
Really? Was it? Dennis Kucinich says he's not going to go there, but I can imagine Sharpton just twisted him every way but loose.
Yeah, well, he schooled him, and this is the thing. I understand Sharpton's not going to win.
Right.
But the Democrats, especially the party apparatus, they could get a big leg up by adopting what Sharpton is using. And basically, that's a very direct and simple message. It's easy to understand. Just, like Bush goes around, well, I'm a leader. You have people, well, Bush is a leader. They can't tell you anything really about him, but he gets away with these little phrases, little things they put together for him to keep his message simple, because unfortunately, a lot of Americans are simple. and they can't understand complicated things or anything that requires you to think a little bit. But what Sharpton is doing, and especially in his delivery, is he's keeping his message very short and simple.
Right.
And I think that especially when you get around to the point where there will be talking points going around, he's very capable of having very direct and I think possibly good points that you could, counter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. A candidate like Sharpton, the value of a candidate like Sharpton is that he, through his statements, through his participation in the debates, and you're right, he doesn't have an ice cube chance in hell. But what he does, he keeps as much as possible, when you have a group this big, he keeps the rhetoric honest. He keeps pushing from his particular point of view, which is a liberal democratic point of view, and he forces the other people to acknowledge him.
Well, I know one of the things he said tonight, and it was like he said, well, when I get ready to debate George Bush, I'm going to come to the debate, and I'm going to be wearing a T-shirt that says, well, where's Osama?
Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Where's Osama? Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Joe's calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief out there. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, about Walmart, I just got this one thing to say. Walmart sucks. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I'm sorry. Was that all Joe had to say, or did Joe have something else? Okay, we'll call back in, Joe. I thought you said that's all I have to say about that. And you're so fast getting off the air, so I just figured you were gone. Tom is calling from Orlando. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Mike, glad to talk to you. I've been listening a long time. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Look, the thing about listening to you guys is that I hear every caller ahead of me. I had an idea when I came in, but it's changed, the time I got here.
Yeah, sure.
Here in Orlando, we got wall Martians, too. These are the people that lurk around there about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wall Martians?
Wall Martians. That's what they are. They're wall Martians. You can kind of tell because the T-shirts say, I've been to NASCAR and this sort of thing. So they're,
right,
they're,
right.
But that's the thing about Walmart. It's open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Here in Florida, Jeb Bush ran on a I Cut Your Taxes program.
Yes, he did.
You also know in Florida we don't pay state income tax.
Yes, I knew that. So what did he cut?
He cut what they call the intangible taxes.
Intangible, I see.
Which means if you've got stocks, bonds, stuff like that, you have to kind of estimate what they're going to be.
Yeah.
And then he cut that. But be that as it may, we were talking earlier about what makes a right-winger think that they can do what they do. I think they really believe that they've got the inside track on morality.
Like molesting children and doing street drugs and threatening to blow up the State Department, like Pat Robertson did. All this right-wingers just get a free pass, don't they?
Well, you see, it's not quite that because they themselves, first of all, they think they got the right religion.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, they think, well, you can't tell other people what to do unless you're sure that, you're above the law yourself.
Sure, yeah. I'm sure that's part of it.
I talked to Kathy briefly, and, she is from a nursing field, I guess, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
There's nobody worse than a doctor when it comes to thinking they're above the law.
A doctor?
The doctors, because they have the power of life and death. And I think a lot of these people have the power of life and death and morality. The law doesn't apply to them.
Well, I think politicians or right-wing zealots, which is every Republican in America, I think they all think they're above the law. I think an awful lot of attorneys, if that's not redundant, think they're above the law. But I don't know.
Well, they need the laws,
I don't know so much about doctors. Doctors know that if they screw up, the law is going to bite them on the ass, and that's why they have to spend so much on malpractice insurance, so on and so forth. I've got a lot of friends who are lawyers, but I put politicians, and especially right-wingers, right-wing politicians or any Republican. I don't care if it's members of my family, your family, the family down the street. Any Republican is a heavily deluded individual who feels that they get a pass. They're the ones who cheat on their income tax. They're the ones who if they see it, the store is undercharging by $30, they don't go back in and say, hey, you made a mistake. These are sneaks, liars, and cheats. Every single Republican in America is either one or all. Sneak, liar, or cheat. They all are. Hey, Tom, got a break.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Appreciate you checking in, pal.
Get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boys. Better watch what you say. We've rammed in your harbor and tied to your port. And our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the fort.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Helping of the truth, here's Mike.
Five before the hour. Don't forget, coming up right after the break, the top of the hour, Nancy Skinner is going to join us for first segment of the next next hour. Adam is calling from Athens, Georgia, home of the University of Georgia. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. Your first time calling?
Yes, sir, it is.
Welcome aboard.
And I just found your show on the internet, and I was listening with you, and I was like, wow, you know, this guy sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders. And I thought I might ask you about the Walmart issue.
Yeah.
You know, being a college student, not having a lot of money, Walmart being the only business in town, what do you do?
Well, I don't live that far from Walmart. I mean from Athens, and Walmart is not the only store in town. There's all kinds of stores in Athens. You know, it's not Hicksville.
Right.
You know, and you're not that far. All along Highway 78 between Athens and Atlanta are store after store after store. I don't know. It just depends on where you draw the line, what you're willing to compromise on. I don't necessarily buy the poor college student rap. There were poor college students 35 years ago or 40 years ago when I was in college, and we managed to make do. There's just something to me inherently evil about supporting a company like Walmart that does more to degrade the human experience than any other corporation in the history of the human race. If you can deal with that and just say, well, you know, I have to do it right now. If you can make the compromise, go ahead. I'm not here to bitch somebody out and say, you know, I'm morally superior because I don't shop at Walmart. I'm just saying the facts are what they are.
I agree with you.
If you can justify shopping at Walmart, go for it. I have a daughter who went to University of Georgia back in the mid-'80s, and she lived on a very tight budget. You know, I paid her tuition and gave her $300 a month. She still had to work. And at the time, this is when Walmart was still a corporation that used American products and American factories, and there was no problem. But that was then. This is now. And Walmart has turned into a huge exploiter of human energy, not to mention the natural resources and labor resources and health resources. They're real pigs. These are cosmic pigs who are devouring the planet. And, If you can figure out a way to justify support, go ahead.
All right.
I'm not here to correct you, Adam, or tell you how to live your life.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not familiar with the area. You know, this is my first year here.
Yeah.
So I don't know a whole lot about the area, but
go to the student union. Check out the student newspaper. You'll see all kinds of places to shop at.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Adam. I hope you call again. I'm glad you found the program.
All right.
And thanks for checking in tonight.
All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. Nancy Skinner is going to join us, and then on with more fun and frivolity. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Thank you.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Democratic presidential candidates attacked President Bush on Iraq at a candidates' debate in Detroit Sunday night, charging that he misled the country before the war and lacks an exit strategy to end it. Bush drew the opening fire on Iraq with the candidates charging he has mismanaged the war from the beginning. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry said Bush has broken every promise in his handling of the war. Reverend Al Sharpton said the country is playing Bush roulette with the safety of U.S. troops in Iraq, and retired General Wesley Clark accused the president of bait and switch after the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. Missouri Senator Richard Gephardt said the president has failed and later summed up his feelings for Bush when he said, like father, like son, 4 years, and he's done. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation, and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, if they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court. And he vowed that he and Arizona Senator John McCain would go to the floor of the Senate and extend the life of the commission if the documents are not surrendered by the commission's deadline. The U.S. Occupation Authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war. The assault was likely planned over at least the last 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. The concrete face of the building was pockmarked with a half dozen or more blast holes and windows shattered in at least 2 dozen rooms. More than 15 hours after the rocket fire, 2 explosions went off in the same downtown area. A rocket-propelled grenade was fired at a U.S. convoy next to the Al Mansour Hotel. There were no casualties.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Australia rewrote the World Cup rugby record book Saturday when they thrashed a hopelessly outclassed Namibia 142-0. The score easily passed Australia's previous World Cup best, last week's 90-8 demolition of Romania, and their all-time best of a 92-10 win over Spain 2 years ago. Namibia, who lost their opening games 14-67 to Argentina and 7-64 to Ireland, barely made a tackle and never once threatened to score. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. During the break, got an email here from Christine, our downtown New York City or downtown Manhattan bureau chief. Hi, Mike. I thought a lot about Paul Wellstone this weekend, and I cried for Paul Wellstone this weekend. Saturday was the anniversary of his death, as I know you know. Could you say something tonight about him, about what we lost that day and why we should remember him? I often think about the senator and his wife, Sheila. And I have a feeling you do too, Christine, downtown New York City. Yeah, Christine, I do, and it's a tragedy. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We will invite onto the program right now a Nancy Skinner, who would like to be a senator, Democratic senator from Illinois, and in my opinion, a lot of people's opinion, is a Wellstone-type Democrat. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Is this the Mike Malloy I saw on CNN today?
No. This
is a different one?
Yeah. This is his young, good-looking twin.
You were great, Mike.
I said to somebody earlier in the program tonight, I got home, looked at the tape, and went, Jesus, who's the old man?
No, you were great. I just love it. You were no holds barred. That's just the Mike and I know and love.
Hey.
But listen, I want to say something about Paul Wellstone, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
He is my inspiration. He's the reason I'm running, in fact. In the end, I was going back and forth, and his words were, stop looking for the perfect candidate. If you have conviction, run yourself. And, in fact, it was the one-year anniversary. I flew downstate to Springfield, Illinois, for a citizen action endorsement hearing in a four-seater plane on the day of his anniversary through bad weather. We had to fly instruments only to land. How eerie is that?
Too eerie.
Mm-hmm.
Too eerie.
But we did.
Yeah. I agree, and it was inspiring what Wellstone said, and I know in your campaign that's exactly why you're trying to do what you're doing. And by the way, for people who are listening, even if you're not in Illinois, you can support Nancy Skinner. Go to her website, skinnerthewinner.org or .com.
.com.
everybody in this country can and will benefit from Wellstone-esque Democrats in the Senate. So, you know, check out our website. Now, let me ask you something. In talking to some of the people in your campaign, are you having trouble getting signatures for the petitions to get you on the ballot?
Well, I need a lot of them, let me tell you that, because there's going to be challenges. I know that. We've heard the word that there will be challenges. I'm up against some very well-funded opponents, Mike, and they will spend a lot of money trying to get me off the ballot as a woman and a progressive.
Right.
And so I will need some 30,000 signatures. And this is what this type of campaign relies on, people.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are any folks out there in Illinois, they have to be registered. They have to be just Illinois citizens to get to circulate the petitions, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be registered, strangely enough.
Right. So what you're needing are some volunteers to get petitions signed. It's not a question of the signatures aren't available. It's just getting the bodies to get the petitions out and have people sign them.
Exactly. And what we have is a nice little package. We'll mail you, if you live in Illinois, we'll mail you a little envelope with a few sheets. That's all. Take them to work. Mm-hmm. Take them to the bar, I don't care. Monday Night Football.
You mean you're not doing what Daryl Issa did to overthrow the government of California? You're not paying people to go out and this is volunteer work, right?
Mostly volunteer.
Wouldn't it be nice to be rich?
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about that. You know, some of my opponents just have so much money.
Yeah.
And I am just busting my behind all day and all night to get the same kind of work done. And it's so frustrating, Mike, I will tell you, because even the organizations that are supposed to be working for progressive candidates and women make it very difficult for us to succeed.
You've noticed that, too. I had a very quickly ended political campaign myself for the Georgia General Assembly here about 8 years ago, which is not how I met Kathy, but Kathy worked at the time as one of my two campaign managers. And what I found was no matter how hard I tried as a progressive candidate, I was running against an incumbent Democrat. I could get no support from the so-called liberal or progressive organizations. Now, of course, this is the South, and you live in Chicago. I would think that progressive organizations in Chicago would be falling all over themselves to help you get these. Get the petition signed, get enough registered voters to get you on the ballot.
You would think.
You would think.
There are days, you know, when you say, "I can't believe." Now I understand why it's so hard. And as I look, I saw a portion of a documentary at Citizen Action on Paul Wellstone, and it's just, for him to have succeeded the way he did was really quite a miracle. It's very tough for good people who honestly want to reform the system to get through.
It is. It is indeed. All right. Now, look, folks, Nancy's going to be here for about another 15 minutes. If you have a question or you want to help with the campaign and want to declare that help on the air, give us a call, 800-TALK-YES. Tell me what I hope when this is over and you're a senator, a junior senator from Illinois, you will have time to write a book about all this.
Yes, in fact, I've
Hello?
Already been contacted by a publisher, Arianna Huffington's group, to write a book.
Right.
But when I started, there really were not a whole lot of liberal responses to the right-wing onslaught of books.
Mm-hmm.
But now everybody's stolen all my good titles.
Oh, I know. All the good titles are gone. Absolutely. And like I say, it may be difficult when you're a junior senator from Illinois to find time to write, but I think it would make an interesting reading. Illinois has only had one, as far as I know, only one female senator, and that was Carol Moseley Braun. Of course, she was the only female African-American senator since forever. Even during Reconstruction, there were no black female senators. But what about Carol Moseley Braun's old organization? Is there any help coming to you from them?
Yes.
That's good.
That crew is on my campaign, some fundraisers, and in fact, her campaign manager currently is stopping by tomorrow. So, yes, there's some help there, and I have a lot of Howard Dean people. I have some John Kerry people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're out there. It's just you got to do all this work. You got to get the signatures. I'm very close, Mike, to having a campaign contribution from all, because of you last time I was on the program, from all 50 states. I'm 4 states short.
Yeah, what do you know offhand what states?
I do.
Which are they?
South Carolina, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Montana.
Okay, we need to get something in from those four states. We've had calls from those states, so we definitely have listeners here.
I mean, even if they gave $10, then I have a press release all ready to go that all of America supports Nancy Skinner. We're actually launching something pretty unique, Mike, in conjunction with that, and it's like an Emily's List for the Internet. It's called the InternetSenator.com, and it's about erasing geographical boundaries and getting progressives elected when we can, where there's an open seat, like here in Illinois.
Right.
It's an open Senate seat. So when we, you know, maybe your vote won't do so much in Georgia right now, but you can support a progressive candidate in a different state. And we'd like to see this thing continue well beyond my candidacy, because look at Howard Dean is, I think, demonstrating that people are out there. And in small contributions, we're as powerful as these big donors.
Well, I think that's very important. I hadn't thought about that, and I think what you just said was very important. I think it would make a wonderful press release, and not just to be a press release, but to let people know that supporters, that you have supporters, or a candidate like you would have supporters in all 50 states, even though in the other 49 they can't vote for you, but they can certainly contribute money. They can help get you elected, because a senator, since it is the most exclusive club, it's been identified on the planet, a senator works ultimately for every citizen in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important.
And one vote, for instance, in the Senate can stop some outrageous right-wing appointment to the Supreme Court or to a federal bench.
Yeah.
That affects everybody.
Yeah. Let me ask you about debates. Have you had I was asked on CNN today about the Democratic presidential contenders debates, and I said it's kind of pointless when you have 10 people and nobody can and it's the typical Democratic Party circular firing squad rather than going after Bush. What are you experiencing in debates, if anything? I don't
Great
know.
Great story. This is very funny that you should ask this. We did have our first televised debate. It was televised on Fox News, the local affiliate. It was an NAACP event, and it was both parties, but it was 2 hours. So we had a chance, you know, 30-second answers, but you can determine if somebody knows what they're talking about in that amount of time. And many people said, I don't like to say this, but many people said I won the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, we've been talking and listening to people, and we know these issues as hosts for a long time. Now, the funny thing is that the front runner in my campaign hasn't done so, he did not do so well. And he's not run, you know, he's at 10% in the polls with 51% undecided. It's not exactly like the fourth quarter, you're up by 3 touchdowns and you ground Neil on the ball, right? So he dropped out of the every other debate, the next debate, which was scheduled for this week at Northwestern University. So Northwestern canceled the debate.
Because the rich, now this is the rich white guy?
No, this is the machine candidate.
The machine, okay, this is the, okay, I got you. So because he dropped out, Northwestern University canceled the, that's surprising.
Well, he dropped out, and then the second, another Barack Obama is a state senator in Illinois, and his contract said unless Dan Hines, this is the front runner who dropped out, unless he's in it, he's not, that he wasn't going to be in the debate. So there was an article in the Northwestern University Press about why this forum was canceled. It was a big deal. It was all set up. And they said, Dan Hyde said that he had dropped out because of scheduling reasons.
maybe he just didn't want to confront you.
Well, then the next quote was from me. It said, syndicated radio talk show host and candidate Nancy Skinner said, there's a rumor going around that Dan Hines is just a little bit chicken. And then the spokesman responded, Dan is not a chicken.
Oh, that's a great great line.
I love that. So in any case, he's dropped out of the second debate now, which is scheduled for Wednesday. So, you know, here, debates for me are a great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chance when you aren't a machine candidate and when you don't have $40 million to show that you know what you're talking about.
Well, is there any chance that even though it wouldn't be an official debate, that you can still do something even though these candidates or potential candidates might be missing?
Well, I don't see how we can.
You can't debate it. No, you can't debate an empty chair. But
yeah.
But I mean, just to.
I was thinking about debating a rubber chicken.
Let me put you on hold, Nancy. Quick break here. We're talking with Nancy Skinner, who is a talk show host on this network, IE America Radio Network, every morning with Doug Steffen, and also candidate for the Democratic nomination to be senator from Illinois. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Wanted the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone, instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing. Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, frugal doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're talking with my good friend and Democratic hopeful candidate for the Senate from Illinois, Nancy Skinner. You know how these clocks run, Nancy. We don't have that much time left, but what would you like people to know about your platform, assuming this is the first time they've heard you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I think we both know that Democrats need to realize that media and message matter. And we keep sending these well-meaning, well-intentioned Democrats up to bat, and they get their heads handed to them. When they start to label something partial birth abortion, they win the debate.
Right.
Or the death tax, the estate tax, the death tax,
right.
They win the debate. We have to be smarter about how we frame the issues, the media, the message, and hammer away at that. And that's what we all have come, and I'm going to say we all, people that listen to the show as well, understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I bring to the table, not only an understanding of the issues, but how we can go ahead and in the national media environment win. Because I'm tired of losing.
That's so important. You're right. You see, well-intentioned Democrats who may or may not get elected, but they don't understand how media works. They don't understand, especially how television works, where a camera goes. I can remember when we were at the Progressive Conference, the anti-State of the Union thing in D.C. back. I don't know, whenever that was. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with all the heavy hitters in the Democratic Party, and they were asking us questions. And well, you remember and the answers that I know that I tried to give, and I think you did too. You people have got to understand what to say and how to say it when the cameras are on you. Remember that?
Exactly.
When
it was at the State of the Union address.
Right. We tried and tried and tried to let these cameras. Now, you can make a case that this is something you either understand or you don't understand. You understand it. And I don't know why someone like, bless her heart, Nancy Pelosi, bless her heart, Barbara Boxer, bless his heart, Carl, the guy from... Levin, they do not take a television camera away, a Republican will, and use it they use the perverted sound bites rather than using the moment that camera is there to the best advantage. And I know that you could do that because you've had so much experience in media. That is important. It's important. Hey, let me bring Dan in here, who's calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Dan, welcome to the program. Say hi to Nancy Skinner.
Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Well, hello, Dan. I'm well, thank you.
I hear you occasionally in the morning on my Sirius radio.
Good for you.
But a couple of things real quick. Do you have a website where we can make contributions?
I do. SkinnerTheWinner.com. SkinnerTheWinner.com. And every dollar helps. So if people are thinking, well, I can only donate.
I'll and drum my other friends around the area. Since we don't have a Senate race down here this year, to see if they'll contribute.
And I appreciate that, Dan. I do, and I'll tell you, this thing is, my race is wide open. We're all within a few points of each other with 51% undecided. So really, honestly, I have an excellent chance to break through and win this. And with the support of progressive people all over the country, I will.
And then two more quick things, and I'll listen on the radio. Are you familiar with the RFIP radio frequency identifying process?
I can't say I am.
Boy, that's a new one on me, too. What's the next one, Dan, because we're running out of time here.
Okay. Beware the wolf in sheep's clothing, Howard Dean. Anytime David Brooks and William Crystal promote Howard Dean, something's wrong. And the RFIP is the radio frequency identification process. That's a grain of salt size of a microchip that all the...
Hey, Dan?
Yes.
We're out of time. Go to SkinnerTheWinner.com. Help her out.
And sign up for, if you live in Illinois and you could get some signatures to get me on the ballot, I would most appreciate it.
Nancy, thanks for joining us. You know how the clock runs. We got a boogie. SkinnerTheWinner.com. Stay in touch.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's do it again.
You're the best.
Don't be a stranger.
I won't be. Thanks,
right.
Mike.
Take care, Nancy. Nancy Skinner is a candidate for the Democratic Party for Senator from Illinois. She joined us from Chicago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairies here in the Midwest or wetlands, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is the great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. One of the stories that is starting to kick up some dust. Certainly in Washington, and it should be raising a storm around the country, and that is the Bush administration withholding key documents that have been requested by the bipartisan commission investigating the September 11th attack. You remember that, don't you? A little over 2 years ago, huh? Do you remember? Sure you do. The commission chairman is one Thomas Keene. He's a former Republican governor of New Jersey. He is challenging George Bush's vow. If you remember, when this commission was put together, Bush said, "We'll uncover every detail and learn every lesson of September 11th. Any document has to do with this investigation cannot be beyond, everything." When he signed the legislation establishing this commission, Bush said, "The investigation should carefully examine all the evidence, follow all the facts, wherever they lead." But as everything that comes out of his mouth is, this was just more lying drivel from the sky. Several members of the 9/11 commission, Democrats and Republicans, are starting to express concern over the lack. Can you believe this? Jesus, fellow Americans, can you believe this? The President of the United States will not release documents to this commission, even though they are charged and funded. Well, they have 18 months to do it. And the 18 months is running out. May 27th, 2004. That's it. And Bush refuses to turn over information. Now, you got to ask why. All right, I'll tell you why. Because Bush is involved in the slaughter of 3,000 people in this country on September 11th, 2001. What other reason could there be? What other reason could there be? Bush and his thugs are involved in the murder. Now, this 911 commission issued its first subpoena last week to the FAA, 5 months after it requested documents relating to the tracking of the hijacked airliners on 911. Uh-oh. What? You mean the commission wants to see why there was no response from North American Air Defense? Are you saying that they want to find out who ordered the stand down? Who ordered this country's soft underbelly to lay there in the morning sun until somebody stuck a knife in it? Oh, well, that can't happen. That can't happen. So several of these commission members are saying that these delays is going to result in the panel not completing its work by May 27, 2004. Now, that deadline, that is the 18-month limit for the panel. That was a compromise with the Bush crime family. The Bush crime family wanted a time limit of 1 year for the commission. They didn't want the extra 6 months where they'd have to keep the cap on everything. God, I hate these people. Complicit in mass murder. If they are not, why doesn't George Bush order the release of every single pertinent document? This is the most secretive, corrupt administration, certainly in my lifetime. These people don't believe that the American people or Congress or anyone have the right to any information whatsoever. Now, what does the twerp say today on CNN with the military dictator, the new one, of Iraq? That would be so-called Ambassador Bremer. He and the Bush baby get together and discuss the rape and pillage of Iraq, and then they invite the press in. So, after lots of chat, reporter wants to know why George W. Bush won't assist the Congressional Commission. By giving that, not the congressional, but the independent 911 commission, by giving them the documents they need, which leaves this independent commission in a position where they may have to subpoena them, file a lawsuit against the White House in order to get the documents. So the reporter says, can you tell us, Mr. President, if you will direct your staff to turn over the intelligence documents that the 9/11 Commission has so far been unsuccessfully seeking, even if they are presidential daily briefings, and if you'll do so, when?
Those are very sensitive documents, and my attorney, Al Gonzalez, is working with Chairman King. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, see that? My attorney, Al Gonzalez, is working with Chairman King. That's a lie. Yeah, little rat, that's a lie. Your attorney is telling the chairman of the commission to go screw himself. Why are the documents not being released? Because Bush has been instructed by his father, by his mother, by Cheney, by Wolfowitz, by Pearl, by Rumsfeld. Don't you dare let those documents out. Do you want to blow everything for us? Good God. And the American people,
yeah, I support the president. I'm in that 53% that I think he's doing a wonderful job. I do. he's stopping terrorism and, you know, from all those people that came over from Iraq and bombed us.
Jesus. Now, simple Scotty McClellan, this toy press secretary at the briefing today. All sorts of happy news from Iraq. So the reporter asks why Bush is thwarting the efforts of the 9/11 Commission to get the truth. The reporter says, Scott, let me ask about the 9/11 Commission if I can. The president spoke of sensitive documents this morning. What he has not done is provided, for example, a copy of the presidential daily briefing. Why should the 9/11 Commission not receive these documents? How else are they supposed to do their job?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of ways to provide information that is needed to the 9/11 Commission. We fully support their efforts. But there are obviously in situations like this always some highly sensitive or classified information that is involved. That's why we'll continue to discuss those issues with the Commission in the spirit that I just mentioned, and that is a spirit of cooperation.
A spirit, not actual cooperation, but we're going to have a spirit of cooperation. And this highly sensitive or classified information, this implicates my boss and his father and his cohorts. They're all involved in this, you dumb White House crack reporters. Don't you understand? My boss is involved in the murder of 3,000 people on our soil and the invasion of two countries as a result. And you want us to turn this stuff over? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Oh, we support their efforts. We laugh behind their backs at the 9/11 Commission. We think it's great sport to see these jackasses asking for documents that they are never going to get. But it's great fun to watch. Another one of the crack White House reporters says, Scott, what do you say to some members of the commission, though, like former Georgia Senator Max Cleland, who charges that the White House is trying to, as he puts it, run out the clock? He says, Senator Cleland says, he believes the White House is withholding classified information for purely political reasons. And Chairman Keane seems to imply this in this interview in the New York Times, that those remaining documents that they don't have are vital. Are you concerned, Scott, that if you don't turn them over, that the White House will have the appearance of something to hide?
We are going to continue to work in a spirit of cooperation with the commission to resolve any of these remaining issues. And as I said, there's a lot of ways to provide the information needed by the commission to complete its work. And that we'll continue to work closely with them as we move forward and help them work to get to the to complete their work.
Yeah, sure you will. Sure you will. They just, you know, this stupid little automatron, this Scott McClellan, this guy is really, really just a wind-up doll. We're going to continue to work in the spirit of cooperation, just like I just said to the previous six questions. There's a lot of ways to provide information needed by the commission. There's Pony Express. There's homing pigeons. There's Morse code. And we'll continue to work closely with them as we move forward to help them work to get to the... And you notice he almost said to the bottom of this. And then he caught himself and said to complete their work. George W. Bush, his administration, his family, his crime family, not to mention his official family. These people are complicit in mass murder. And,
well, Mike, that's one hell of a charge, buddy.
Yeah, it is. If it is not true, what other reason would the Bush crime family have for refusing to turn over documents and trying to run out the clock on the 9/11 Commission? Can anybody come up with an idea, a suggestion? The Bush crime family needed the attack on September 11, 2001 in order to justify their invasion and subsequent and ongoing rape of Iraq, and the invasion and subsequent and ongoing rape of Afghanistan. They knew this was going to happen. They had the details. They are complicit. If that's not the case, then why is the Bush administration refusing documents? Because all the 9/11 Commission is trying to do is to get to the bottom, as Scott McClellan almost said. Even FAA logs. Who issued the order for our North American Defense Command to stay
on the ground when it became clear that this country was under attack. Who ordered that?
Mike, now that's, you know, classified. We can't tell you who ordered that, because if we did, not everybody, not the 52% that support George Bush, but the 48% who don't, would take up arms and overthrow the government. So you think we are going to tell you, Mike, or the Keene Commission, or anyone? That's where we are. That's where we are. That's the kind of corrupting hole this Bush crime family has put this country into. Astonishing. Just astonishing. Now, in regard to all the wonderful successes that we are having in Iraq, I guess this past weekend is clear evidence of that, huh? The series of suicide bombings, so-called. We don't know if they're suicide bombings or not. Those vehicles may have been remote-controlled. Who knows? But they're being reported as suicide bombings. The attack on the Rashid Hotel, they went after Wolfowitz, apparently, and just missed him by one floor. But the bombings that shook Iraq, Baghdad early today, including an attack on the offices of the International Committee of the Red Cross, four Iraqi police stations, as many as 40 people dead, 250 wounded, 26 of the dead. 26 of the dead were civilians. And, of course, in Washington, too stupid to be president, said the U.S. will stay the course. We don't care how many people die. What the hell do we care? We couldn't care less. Slaughter them all. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. Americans killed? Ah, we only lost one colonel, so it's not that big of a deal. These people are filthy. They're just filthy. Bush says, we will not be, we're determined not to be intimidated by these killers. You know who he's referring to? He's referring to Wolfowitz and Pearl and his father and himself and Cheney and Rumsfeld. Those are the killers. The attacks took place in the morning between 8:30 and 10:15 a.m., according to the New York Times, local time. And that is a tip-off to American and Iraqi officials that these attacks were part of a highly coordinated operation. Well, duh. Oh, my God. I was asked about this on CNN today, and this is very reminiscent to me. I was not there, but in 1968, in South Vietnam, the first day of the Tet holiday, when McNamara and the Johnson administration were lying through their filthy teeth to the American public about the success of the war in Vietnam. We're winning the hearts and minds. We're doing this. We're doing that. And the VC and the North Vietnamese, in a coordinated attack in damn near every city in South Vietnam, on that day, on the first day of the Tet holiday, it became known, as you know, the Tet Offensive. Hundreds of attacks. And the war went on. That was proof positive that the United States had no more control over South Vietnam than we now have over Iraq. And it was also proof positive in 1968. Of course, we had to let another 30,000 Americans die. We had to let another million Indochinese die. But the handwriting was on the wall during the Tet Offensive in 1968, and it very, very clearly said, you cannot stop a guerrilla war. You cannot. This is our country. We may be communists, we may be Nazis, we may be worms, we may be vermin, but this is our country, and we will fight you until every one of us is dead or you are gone. Today was the first day of Ramadan in Iraq. Was it the same as the Tet Offensive? No, of course not. But John McCain in the current issue of Newsweek is saying exactly the same thing. The comparisons now are not just some kind of reaching between U.S. involvement in South Vietnam and U.S. involvement in Iraq. We're here. This is it. Today was Tet.
based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at IEAmericaRadio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
truth. Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
During the break, Shirley emails in, why do they put a time limit on this investigation of 3,000 murders when the states don't have a time limit for prosecuting the crime of murder? Why is this any different? This should be an open investigation with no end and the White House stripped of their power of secrecy. Yeah. The reason there's a time limit, the reason the Bush crime family is refusing to provide the documents is because they are involved in the murder of 3,000 people in this country. They are involved in the slaughter of Afghans and Iraqis. It is because this country, is in the clutches of the worst crime organization ever to seize control. Ambassador, quote-unquote, Bremer, with Too Stupid to Be President, today... Bremer here sticks with the good news Iraq policy. Despite all the violence in just the past 24 hours, scores of people blown to pieces, hundreds wounded. And listen to this jackass.
A lot of wonderful things have happened in Iraq. We have a cabinet now, ministers actually conducting affairs of state. We have met all of our goals in restoring essential services. All the schools and hospitals are open.
That's a lie.
Electricity is back at pre-war levels. We're moving ahead with our plan. We'll have rough days, such as we've had the last couple of days, but the overall thrust is in the right direction, and the good days outnumber the bad days, and that's the thing we need to keep in perspective.
Oh, I see. The good days outnumber the bad. Bad days. Bad day? Dozens dead? Hundreds wounded is a bad day? No, you jackass. Bad day is when I lose my car keys. A bad day is when I rip my pants. That's a bad day. Now, as far, what did he say? We have met our goals. All the schools and hospitals are open. You are a complete liar. The current issue of Newsweek that's just on the stand today. Here's what it says. The Bush administration's favorite statistic from Iraq is the 1,500 schools it has just finished rehabbing. And though that number is still less than a fifth of Iraq's 10,000 schools, it seems amazingly fast work. Here's the problem. Many of the so-called rehabilitated schools don't look ready for the morning bell. Newsweek visited five schools in Baghdad's Camp Sara neighborhood, all of which were among those listed as rebuilt, all by different Iraqi subcontractors working for Bechtel. None had textbooks. None had desks. None had blackboards. Most had refuse everywhere, non-functioning toilets, desks made for two kids that were accommodating four. But the lies continue, don't they?
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The U.S. occupation authority temporarily abandoned its headquarters after Iraqi insurgents attacked the hotel with a missile barrage that killed an American colonel and wounded 18 people. The bold attack has rattled U.S. confidence that it is winning the aftermath of the war. The assault was likely planned over at least the last 2 months as the insurgents put together the improvised rocket launcher and figured out how to wheel it into the park just across the street from the hotel. U.S. officials and officers fled from the Al-Rashid, some still in pajamas or shorts, to a nearby convention center. The concrete face of the building was pockmarked with a half dozen or more blast holes and windows shattered in at least 24 rooms. More than 15 hours after the rocket fire, two explosions went off in the same downtown area. A rocket-propelled grenade was fired at a U.S. convoy next to the Al-Mansour Hotel, about a mile away from the Al-Rashid. There were no casualties. Members of both parties are accusing the White House of stonewalling the investigation of the September 11, 2001 attacks by blocking demands for documents despite threats of a subpoena. The 10-member bipartisan commission has until May 27th to submit a report that will deal with law enforcement, diplomacy, immigration, commercial aviation and the flow of assets to terror organizations. Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut said, "If they continue to refuse, I will urge the independent commission to take the administration to court." And he vowed that he and Arizona Senator John McCain would go to the floor of the Senate and extend the life of the commission if the documents are not surrendered by the commission's deadline. Wildfires that have burned for days stretched across miles in parts of Southern California on Sunday, leaving 13 people dead and destroying 650 homes. The state's largest fire in San Diego County caused at least 9 deaths, including 2 who died inside their car as they apparently tried to escape the flames. By Sunday night, the fires had blackened 264,000 acres. Fire also forced the evacuation of a Federal Aviation Administration control center in San Diego, disrupting air travel across the nation. Some airlines canceled flights into the region. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. For cars, I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Police arrested a man for stealing shoes from a southern Japanese hospital, then found a collection in his home of 440 women's shoes, all for the left foot. Ichiro Iri, 45, was arrested Saturday on suspicion of having stolen 2 leather shoes the previous day. In Iri's home, police found a box in a closet overflowing with 440 women's shoes, including high heels, patent leather pumps, sandals, and nurse's shoes. Police had no explanation for the man's preference for the left foot. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
What if the White House and Congress were to do something sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone instead of, well, you know, the opposite of all of the above, as they've been doing? Here's one big idea that would definitely be a plus for our people and for future generations. Launch a 10-year, $300 billion crash program to provide energy independence for America. This would be a nationwide effort involving millions of us grassroots people to develop, build, and run a high-speed rail network, a distribution system for hydrogen-powered cars, energy-efficient buildings and appliances, solar and wind power systems, and other means to kick our nation's costly oil addiction. It's called the Apollo Project, and it's a proposal that has been put together by 10 unions, including the steel workers, auto workers, mine workers, service employees, machinists, and electrical workers. Among other good results, their bold plan can restore America's manufacturing jobs, link blue-collar America with the environmental movement, eliminate the need for more oil wars, build a sound energy infrastructure for the future, spur a national construction boom, stimulate the economy from the ground up, excite and unite workaday Americans in a shared mission, and provide a positive model for the rest of the world. Now that's sensible, positive, visionary, and good for everyone. Oh, froodle-doodle, cried the naysayers in the White House, Congress, and oil corporations. Where are you going to get $300 billion to finance this? I say we should get it from where it went. Washington just doled out $350 billion from our public treasury to enrich elites who are already super-rich. Let's put $300 billion of that back in the treasury to finance this Apollo program for the good of all, instead of watching the privileged stick it in foreign bank accounts or buy more mansions in France. This is Jim Hightower saying, to see the Apollo proposal for yourself, check out ApolloAlliance.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
The hour. 800-TALK-YES is the phone number. We'll come to your calls here in just a second. There's just example after example. Paul Bremer knows that we Americans are stupid. Not you, not me. You know what I'm saying? He knows we're stupid. He knows that those reporters that questioned him today after his, quote, discussion, close quote, with too stupid to be president, he knows that those reporters, when he says something like all the schools and hospitals are open, that's what he said. In Iraq, all the schools are open. Now, he knows that that's a lie. But he also knows that we Americans either A, are not paying attention, B, don't care, or C, our white right-wing monkeys who hang on words like that and go, oh boy, they're all open, yeah! Meanwhile, at the very same moment that Bremer is saying that, Newsweek magazine, one of those communist left-wing publications, is saying that 1,595 schools are opened out of 10,000. And the ones that are open are open only in the sense of, oh, I don't know, when you leave a door to your house open. I guess you can say, well, my house is open. Or if you live in the country and use an outhouse, you leave the door, well, the outhouse is open. These schools are not open. They're a disaster. But Bremer knows, see, Bremer and the rest of the Bush crime family know. There's not even any effort to spin the truth. Just stand there and lie. Because the American public is stupid. The American media is corrupt and vile. Nobody will hold them accountable. Nobody. So in the same moment this morning, while Bush and Bremer are sitting there jerking the White House press corps off, another reporter has a question about the latest violence. So the moron takes the microphone to talk about the violence in Iraq. Now, I want you to see if you can make any sense out of this. And towards the end, this this utter cretin invents two words. Tell me what he's saying. Tell me.
It is the people have got to understand, the Iraqi people have got to understand, that anytime you got a group of killers willing to kill innocent Iraqis, that their future must not be determined by these kind of killers. That's what they've got to understand. I think they do understand that. That's what it's in the interest of long-term peace in the world that we work for a free and secure and peaceful Iraq. A free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
A peace, free and... Can you back it up and just play that part? What is he saying? This is the President of the United States. He's saying a peace, free, and secure Iraq. Have you got it? Go ahead.
For a free and secure and peaceful Iraq. A peace, free, and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A free and peace... Does anybody know what those words mean? They're not words. This is a gibbering monkey maniac. And there he sits. There he sits with the military overseer of Iraq talking about the peace, friance of Iraq. Oh, my God. Too stupid to find his ass with both hands, then took some questions. This reporter said, Mr. President, the attacks are getting more brazen. They're getting more frequent. What do you know about who is behind these attacks? Is it Saddam? And what steps did you discuss this morning about better protecting U.S. personnel there?
The best way to describe the people who are conducting these attacks are cold-blooded killers, terrorists. That's all they are. They're terrorists. And the best way to find them is to work with the Iraqi people to ferret them out and go get them.
Oh, my God. None of the questions answered. This insane cowboy jerkwad just talks about hunting down the evil dyers. Yeah, let's go get them. Oh, my God. Now, this is the last one. This is the last one. Reporter asks about weapons of mass destruction. You remember those, weapons of mass destruction, right? Huh? The reason 10,000 Iraqis and 350 Americans are dead? The reason 2,000 Americans are wounded with arms and legs shot off? You remember weapons of mass destruction. You think Bush is going to answer this one? The reporter. Mr. President, situation in Iraq. Can you characterize how you may adjust tactics to deal with things such as suicide bombers and these attacks? And what effect, if any, is this terror having on the hunt for weapons of mass destruction?
Again, I will repeat myself, that the more progress we make on the ground, the more free the Iraqi become, the more electricity is available, the more jobs are available, the more kids that are going to school, the more desperate these killers become, because they can't stand the thought of a free society. They hate freedom. They love terror.
Weapons!
They love to try to create fear and chaos.
Weapons of mass destruction.
And what we're determined in this administration is not to be intimidated by these killers.
Oh, my God. I don't know. How is this justified? How did we slip into hell to have this ignorant man sitting where the President of the United States should be sitting? This killer, he is the killer. He is the terrorist. He is the one who uses weapons of mass destruction. This is the man who will not release the information necessary for the 911 Commission because he and his filthy comrades are up to their necks in blood
and destruction in this country, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Israel, in the occupied territories. There they are, Bush, Pearl, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, every single one of them.
And Thomas Keene, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, says, "Well, we may have to subpoena these documents." Yeah. You go right ahead, Thomas Keene. You're not going to see them. Nobody will ever see them. FAA documents, military logs about why this multi-trillion-dollar defense system that's been in place in this country since the end of World War II and the beginning of the Cold War, bombers and jets and surveillance planes and AWACS and radar crisscrossing this country in a way that a damn fly couldn't get in here without showing up on the radar. And these murderous people tell us,
FAA records about the stand down ordered on September 11th when this nation was under attack. Oh, I'm sorry. Afraid not. You're not going to see those. No, that's a matter of national security.
And we sit here and take it. And 53% of the American public still support this criminal, this murderer, this mass killer. Let's use his language. He is the murderer. He is the terrorist. George W. Bush, he is the killer. Not true? Produce the documents. Give the details of what happened that bloody day, George. Huh? Order every single United States government agency, from the FAA to FEMA to the United States military, to produce every single pertinent document. I dare you. Of course you won't, because you know what would happen. You and your thugs would not be able to withstand the outrage. Will the American people ever find out that this criminal was involved up to his eyeballs in the deaths of 3,000 people in this country on September 11, 2001? Do you still believe that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy? They will get away with it. You know it as well as I do. You know it as well as I do. John is calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hey, John, welcome to the program. Is this your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
I've been reading about Wausau ever since I saw the ads for Wausau Insurance Company. I'm terribly sorry.
Mike, I think that liberals need to be proud of the label liberal.
Oh, sure.
I think that we should label the right the same way that they have labeled us. And I think that it's clearly time for Democratic liberals to stand up to the right and to put them in their place as the far-out right-wing elitist extremists that they are.
Well, murderers, killers, and destroyers of the United States. Sure. No argument for me, John.
I believe that you would be the ideal Democratic candidate because you stand for all of the true liberal values and ideals.
Well, there is a candidate out there. She's running for the Senate from Illinois. Her name is Nancy Skinner. I'm a talk show host, John, and I'm way, way too tired. I feel like I have been struggling since I was 22. And plus, I did inhale when I was, I'm not like Clinton. I appreciate what you're saying. But you're the type of liberal Democrat that ought to run for office, not me.
Well, I'm just saying this because With Clinton, he's a lot of people say, well, he's a good example.
Hey, hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'll come right back to you. I just looked at the clock, and it's moving. Don't go away, John.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she says, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my Molloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Molloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want it's me fired,
pathetic.
Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate
not
me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof.
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Molloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Oh, my God. A peace, friends. What did... Wait a minute. We're coming back to you, John, just a second. Shelby, our radiopower.org web mistress, she looked it up. Peace, friends. That's a verb. No, it'd have to be a noun, is a flying monkey who pisses on freedom. That's what is in, according to Shelby, the Republican to English translation dictionary says, Piens Friens is a flying monkey who pisses on freedom. Okay, thanks, Shelby. Oh, my God. What did he say? I'm serious. Those are the drugs kicking in? Is that the Ritalin? What is that? What comes out of this little twerp's mouth that sounds like that? It's astonishing. But we were talking with John in Wausau, Wisconsin. John, I'm sorry to keep you on hold that long. Now, where were we? You were suggesting I run for office, and I was telling you, no, you do it.
Well, just
because you are young and strong and obviously very intelligent.
Yeah, just to conclude, I want to say that a lot of people say that Clinton is a good example of a liberal who has slightly caved in to the right because he tried to pander to every constituency possible.
Yeah.
And we cannot really have that leadership. We cannot have a leadership that compromises with the self-serving elitist Republican leadership in Congress. And we need to have somebody who stands strong, like yourself or Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. And that was really my point.
Well, I appreciate it. And thanks for checking in, John. I hope you call again. As far as compromise, I can remember a time in my life, doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it was, when I would accept no compromise either. When you are armed with that sort of idealism, then compromise is a hateful word. But I think what happens is, as you get older, and by old, I don't necessarily mean in terms of years. I mean in terms of acquired wisdom or acquired experience, and there is a difference. But a combination of the two, you come to understand that purity does not exist. It may exist in physics, it may exist in chemistry, but it certainly does not exist in international relations, in the political arena. In education, in purity exists maybe in math, and then only in theory, I guess. I don't know, but to compromise in order to get done the greater good, to apply a utilitarian concept to politics, I don't think is necessarily wrong. Or inherently evil or counterproductive. Bill Clinton did a lot of things that I found absolutely grotesque. But on balance, given the realities he had to deal with, given the realities of America, United States of America in the 90s, I think he did the best he could. I really do. I don't think a Dennis Kucinich or a Jesse Jackson or an Al Sharpton or anybody could have done a better job in the 90s. Now, I may be wrong. And this is where I fear for these kinds of candidates is because they do still maintain integrity. They are ideologically pure. And I don't know if they can survive. I don't know if any of us can survive. We live in a corrupt environment. So what to do with that? Well, fight the corruption for sure. Fight the corruption for sure.
Texas. I come from Texas. Texas.
The new Prime Minister of India is,
Mass destruction. Mass destruction. Mass destruction. thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Restoring natural areas requires a combination of sound science and honest labor. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Naturalists have become more actively involved in the landscapes they study. Restoration ecology has changed the way some scientists go about their business. They aren't just observers, they actively participate in restoring the original conditions of natural areas. William Jordan III coined the term restoration ecology years ago, and he's written a new book about it called The Sunflower Forest.
This business of attempting to restore altered ecosystems, such as prairie here in the Midwest or wetlands, has turned out to be a very powerful way of studying them, of raising questions about their ecology and testing ideas about their ecology.
Jordan says restorationists play a number of roles. They're hunter-gatherers collecting native plants and animals to reintroduce to an area. They're farmers working to influence the plants that grow on a piece of land. And they're scientists recording their methods and results. Jordan says restoration has proven to be a valuable tool for education and research. He says ecologists have learned things they might not have found through simple observation. For example, they came to understand the importance of fire while attempting to restore prairies. Jordan says restoration often requires actions that he calls a studied disregard for human interests.
You put back the rattlesnakes, the poison ivy, fire is the great example. You put back these things which you may find inconvenient or even destructive. And this is all part of a kind of tribute to nature.
Jordan says the goal of restoration is to return the landscape to its historical condition, which in North America usually means what it was like prior to European settlement. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Leah is calling from Phoenix. Leah, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard.
You were talking earlier, it's good to talk to you, by the way. You were talking earlier about the differences between what was actually going on in the schools being open and what Newsweek said was actually going on. I came across a magazine at the newsstand this weekend called the Acumen Journal. It's like $18, $19 a copy. It's for well-educated, discriminating people. It's a good magazine. There was an article in there about the hospitals in Iraq and the workload of the doctors, the 24 hours straight that they're working, and they have a picture of an infant in there that has been turned away at three different hospitals for lack of incubators.
Yeah. Yeah, to the Bush administration, saying that a school or a hospital is open means that the door is standing ajar. It doesn't mean that the facility has been properly or adequately staffed or furnished or the proper equipment. It just means the door is open.
They don't even have the most minimal things to operate with. They don't have basic equipment. There's a picture of a child in there whose stomach is blown away by an American cluster bomb that went off when he was playing with it. I mean, they don't even have basic supplies. So it is. The intelligent people in America know that this is a lie. It's all a bunch of lies.
I hope, but I would. What grieves me, Leah, is that that the majority of Americans, that all Americans don't know that this is a lie, regardless of our education level. Where is our media? Where are the news organizations that are supposed to stand up on its hind legs when a thug like Bremer or Bush makes statements that are patently untrue? Where are our media? Where are they? So they can say, no, these are false statements.
They're on Sirius Left. That's where they're at.
I guess that's it.
Leah, well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you. I'm glad you called in. I hope you'll call in again.
I'll keep listening. Thanks.
Take care. We have been, first of all, we're in, I don't know. I know y'all get sick of hearing me say this, but we're just in the clutches of a real crime family. That's a given. But the media, the corruption of media, how could they? How could they? Shame on them. The statement, just like Leah said, hospitals, that these Bush thugs declare to be open, that are open only in the sense that a package is open when you get it in the mail and you open it. But the misleading of the American public, the job that has been done by the Bush crime family and the complicity of the media in keeping the truth from the American public, not spinning what little shards of truth come out, but the absolute and utter lies that are force-fed to the American public day in, day out, day in, day out, no let-up. No stopping, never. Remember when CNN's Christian Amanpour admitted that CNN censored the news coming out of Iraq? It doesn't stop. It is heartbreaking to think that a culture, a society, a country like this that has the potential for such enormous good. Such greatness. Are we not the only country with the kind of mix of cultures and races and religions and philosophies and ideas and ethnic groups to produce the genius that is America? And it is being destroyed and corrupted by a handful of appointed thugs, and we are not taking this country back? Oh, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Take a deep breath, Mike. Jesus. Go home and drink a big glass of Metamucil and let it go, huh? Do you want to hear just a couple more here before we go back to your phone calls? From today's press briefing from this little robot, Scott McClellan, these are very irritating, but I just want to hear a couple more. The good news coming out of Iraq, it's so refreshing, death, destruction, nothing working, just total ripoffs. Wait till the truth comes out about this money that's going to Bechtel and Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton. Gasoline, refined gasoline that is purchased in Kuwait for 70 cents a gallon, purchased by these Americans, sold at the pump in Iraq for 11 cents a gallon, and charged off the American taxpayer at the rate of $1.70 a gallon.
It is criminal. Damn it! Doesn't anybody care? It is criminal what these people are doing, top to bottom. The lies, the exploitation, the rape of this country. Is Saddam a bastard? Yes, we all agree he's a bastard. Does it justify this sort of assault on the Iraqi people? No, no, it doesn't. But the good news coming out of Iraq is so refreshing. A reporter.